You remember the address of the Dean Apartments?
724 North Capitol.
727 North Capitol. Now, that's okay. And in the apartments, and this was during the war, we had a grocery store in the basement, and a beauty shop, and a drug store.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Then, when the war was over in 1946, I guess it was, we moved to the house that you and Dad bought. At 612
North Jemison.
Mm-hmm. And lived there until
Patricia was married.
I was married, August 27th. And then a year later, you and Dad moved to Grand Rapids, mm-hmm. and then came back, as you said earlier, on that. Okay, one of the things I think is interesting about some things during your life was the traveling that you did. And you mentioned a little bit about traveling with my father and me to the Canadian companies when Dad had an examination of the companies. And you went to California in 1934, and something amazing happened while you were there.
Certainly did an earthquake. We went through one of the seven something on the Geiger counter.
Richter scale. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you were in Long Beach, mm-hmm. and that was 1934. Mm-hmm. And I was along, but I don't remember much of it.
Probably not.
But you were in a car with me, if I remember right. What happened when the earthquake happened?
Well, the car jumped up and down, and I thought it was some of that always happens in the summer when you shut off the motor quickly, mm-hmm. after you've driven away. It bumps. Mm-hmm. So I got out with my baby girl, started to get out, and found no place to put my feet. The ground was bumping. And so I got back in and sat down, and the friend that was taking me for the trip to Forest Lawn was Frances Sly Lane. And she came out of the house quite hurriedly and said, "Guess what? We've had an earthquake." And I said, "Oh, that's what that bumping was from." And she said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, the tree did the tango at the top of the hill there, and I saw that tree dancing," and I thought that was funny, but living in California is different from living in Michigan. And so I just wondered what it was. And she said, "It broke every plate on my plate rail in the dining room." Hmm. And so we went on to, so I was actually in the cemetery when the earthquake hit. Mm-hmm. But I was in an apartment building, and much to my, I didn't know this, that it was earthquake proof. And I worried, not because of myself, because my husband and I had big feet and long legs, but we worried about that baby girl. And so we went out, he rented a car, and we went out on an olive grove at night, because he figured he could hold up that cabin if he had to until we got out. And we spent four nights in that. We had 284 major shocks after the big one.
You were in cabins in that grove?
In the grove.
What kind of a grove was it?
Olive.
Okay. There were cabins between the trees or?
Yeah, well, like most of the motels in California.
Oh, I see. It was just a regular place for people.
Regular place to keep, and they were all filled because Los Angeles was emptied. Mm-hmm. Nobody stayed there that didn't have to. Mm-hmm. And they all went to these motels that were closest to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And we were pretty fortunate to get a place in it. Mm-hmm. And so we weathered the storm. And what was so pleasing to me, I had a friend there whose children, every time a heavy truck would pass after the earthquake, they would scream and yell, and I at least protected my child from not being afraid. And I sat one night, all night, with her on a davenport in the lounge of the lobby of the hotel. and
first night. Okay, traveling has been interesting in both your life and my father's life, Leonard's life. I don't know which you want to tell first about his trip in 1921 out into the great unknown known as the West. You want to tell a little bit about that story?
Examining?
No, 1921, when you were still in college.
Oh, yes. And we naturally didn't have much of a honeymoon because of Mrs. Sanford's death. Mm-hmm. And so he was not allowed more than 2 weeks. He was a state employee. And we had 2 weeks and 2 weeks only of paid vacation. So he had really taken that ahead of time. So when we were married, we had to have a short vacation. And next June, we went to Yellowstone Park, and he was a big camper, and he had previously gone camping with a friend of his back out through the West and learned much about it and was anxious to take me, so out we went. And the first night we slept on the ground, and that ended the sleeping outdoors. And we went through Yellowstone and Yosemite, and then the rains came. And out there when rains come, the soil is gumbo, and it's as slippery as soap. And we bought a tow rope. We got to Sundance, Wyoming, just in time for a great big funeral, so we had no food. All the food we had was what I carried with me. And we had no gasoline for our gasoline cooking stove. So we borrowed the stove in the next morning for our breakfast from two school teachers who were on vacation. And we had a nice breakfast, and then we started out. And as we started out, we saw all these cars in the ditch. We wondered what in the world they were doing in the ditch. We soon found out. We followed a Buick, an old-fashioned Buick, and it had a tread on it of about 4 to 5 inches. And if he had just had any courage, he would have taken the caravan of 54 cars that left Sundance, Wyoming the next morning safely. But he didn't have, and his wife had less. And every time she came to a puddle of water in the road, this was a dirt road, she'd get out and walk. Everybody had to stop because they stopped. So finally we persuaded them to let somebody, and guess who was elected to do it? Doc and I. So we led the procession of 54 cars into Gillette, Wyoming, and got out and kind of stretched and refreshed ourselves, and then went on west.
To Yellowstone and, mm-hmm. and Yosemite. You saw a lot in the 2 weeks you had in vacation.
We sure did.
Did you have an agreement about how far you'd go on a vacation?
No, we had, and we had no choice. When this gumbo hit us, we had no choice. We stayed in a man who let us use his garage for a sleeping place. And in our car, we had it cut down to make a bed inside the car. And we're very glad we did, because we just had to break the front seat then with butterfly bolts, and we had a bed. So we were high and dry as far as that concerned. But we woke up in the night with the car weaving. And I asked my husband what in the world that was, and he got out and he found a bear. After our food, we had wedged the food box under the what'd they call that? Where you get into the car.
Running board?
Running board. The only place we could wedge it. It had no lock on it, but we could wedge it under there, and we figured he couldn't, but he moved the car. He moved the box. And so he was getting to them. And then we went on.
That was at Yellowstone Park, probably, where the bear mm-hmm. got the food.
The bears hunt the food dumps.
they don't much anymore because they're doing a little more management.
I'm sure they are.
Food and trash.
Yeah. I'm sure they are.
Okay. And you took more than one camping trip, I think. You were talking about your honeymoon first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went out one more time, did you, that way, camping that way?
Well, we learned not to sleep on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
We slept in the car, of course. Mm-hmm. We went out there, oh, I don't know, several times. I think I've counted 18
mm-hmm.
times that we went that far west and back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was our favorite vacation spot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we got a whole month vacation, why, we had lots more time to see the sights.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Okay, we're going to answer these four questions that are asked each interviewee. And the first question was, when did you or your family come to the Lansing area and why? And I think you answered that when you were telling your story. The second question is, what changes have you observed in the Lansing area?
Well, when we first moved to Lansing, Washington Avenue was covered with red brick. And each spring, we had bad winters. And each spring, both had a streetcar the length of Washington Avenue. And each spring, those brick heaved up, and that was the first job to flatten those out. It was a very bumpy traveling from about March
mm-hmm.
until the paving was done.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course I have mentioned the Coles Hedge
mm-hmm.
and it's then Saginaw Street had a hill from Washington down to Grand, and it was the mecca of all who owned a toboggan. And we went tobogganing on that hill as all other teenagers did. And the family that I went with had a double toboggan, and some thoughtless person pulled the plug on the second toboggan. And one went across into the river, and one went into the Friedland junkyard, pile of tin cans and everything else. And that was the one I went. The other one who went in the river had two people with broken arms. But we came out whole, but very disturbed, think we'd made that. We were glad the junkyard was there,
mm-hmm.
but because it stopped us.
Mm-hmm. That was also a good hill to ride a wagon down on.
Sure.
If you were carrying newspapers down the Freelands.
And then I remember the those buildings that burned were some of our most important buildings. And I also remember them building what they call the Prudent Auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And W.K. Prudent sponsored that. Whether he owned the property before we bought it or not, or the Board of Education bought it, I don't know. But that's where we held graduations after mine.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was held in the Gladmere Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And
during the Second World War, the Prudent Auditorium was the site of Friday night dances.
Yes, that was the auditorium in Lansing, and all dances and everything like that. Lansing Woman's Clubhouse was on North Washington, and that was the place where all of the society dances took place. The J-Hop, the J-Hop in high school was held in the high school. What'd they call that?
Gymnasium?
It's where the cafeteria is now, but it was under the auditorium anyway.
Mm-hmm. Any other changes in the city that you've observed?
Oh, there were many changes, and I just can't.
Sometimes they happen so subtly. that they seem to not have happened until some time later, and you realize something.
Well, we lost the streetcar, and that just stopped everybody. Mm-hmm. We started buses, and they were, like all buses, tried to conform to schedule, but failed. Mm-hmm. And then the stores began to change, because they instituted this, what I call a crazy mall. Mm-hmm. You couldn't go down Washington Avenue at all, and any shopping you had to do at Washington Avenue, you had to park on one of the side streets mm-hmm. and walk to your favorite store. Mm-hmm. And then when they made the malls and we could go to one place and stay there, mm-hmm. it was quite attractive. Mm-hmm. Now I understand they're kind of tired of that and they're wondering what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. But they are back. They have opened Washington Avenue now. Mm-hmm. It's no longer a mall. And everybody seems very happy about it.
The next question is, what feature of the community is most rewarding to you?
Well, I don't know. That would mean progress, wouldn't it?
No, what feature of the community, something that it offers, something that you find here, something available?
Well, we had very good schools.
Well, this is in the present tense now. What feature of the community is most rewarding to you?
Well, I don't know.
One thing that occurs to me is the value you found in your high school reunions of the class of 1918, when you've met practically every year since your 60th anniversary, and just had your 72nd anniversary this year. But I don't know whether there's, you mentioned Wharton Center sometimes at the college as being, you know, a really wonderful place to be.
And I think Kellogg Center tops that, though. Uh-huh. That Kellogg Center is a wonderful place. Mm-hmm. And is on campus, but only on campus. Mm-hmm. We don't own it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And are there any features of the community least rewarding?
I sure miss the transportation system we had. Mm-hmm. It's awfully hard to get around anywhere, and the one-way streets make it impossible. Mm-hmm. Now I go down to Lansing and I'm teetotally lost, because the thing I started out for is on the street that's the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I have to go out of my way to get back on the, and that aggravates me.
You can't use the old patterns of moving to get where you want to be.
You have to think where you're going when you get in your car and what street comes closest to that. Mm-hmm. And
okay. The last question is, what are your suggestions to residents and to business people for the future of the Lansing area?
Well, I took a boat trip not too long ago down the Grand River, and I was amazed at the number of new buildings that are built down there that I don't know anything about. And I've lived in Lansing 84 years. And I think they should cut down on their growth and really do something. They've started with that mall. That was a great start, to give Washington Avenue back to the public. Mm-hmm. and because it took, having not been able to go down Washington, lots of the stores that were on Washington moved to the malls.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't know. Times have changed so hard since I left that all these things, the barricades that they put up and everything, I don't fully understand. But I would recommend that they keep at that well, it's a project of the city to get rid of the dope and the prostitutes and things like that that we don't approve of. And they're doing a wonderful job.
There's less dope and less prostitution now.
Hmm?
There's less dope,
yes,
and less prostitution,
yep,
than there was.
And they've raided ever so many houses that had previously been boarded up as of no use as residents. And these people have moved in, taken them over, and they've raided a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And arrested the people they found in them, and have made lots of progress toward clearing the city of dope and prostitution.
Well, thank you very much for all of this time and remembering, and we can add to it if you want to a little later.
Okay.
If you think of something you want to add, why, we certainly can. And
okay.
It's been a pleasure to have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you a lot.
Now we're back on September 7th, having just a final chance to mention a few other things. And when you lived in the house on Seymour and Willow, Seymour became Grand River, didn't it, as it turned? Well, go ahead and talk.
Up the hill.
Yes, but I mean, it came through North Lansing, Grand,
yes,
River did. And then when it got to Seymour, it turned north, and Seymour was still Seymour, but what happened to the addresses?
Well, it was North Grand River then.
Yeah, okay, so.
And we were at 1301 North Grand River last.
Okay, and Grand River was that US 16?
Yes.
So it was the only road then between Lansing and Grand Rapids,
mm-hmm,
and there must have been quite a bit of traffic by the house.
Lots of traffic.
Trucks and okay,
and my father bought this house from a man that was a partner in the Northrop Robinson Carrier Chemical Company in Lansing, and he got the corner lot, the corner of Seymour and Willow. He built a house on the lot next to him, vacant at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were two houses, another nice brick house north, and some storage places near the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then across the river, we started the what the old-fashioned people call the Sugar Factory Hill.
Hmm.
And on top of that was Michigan's sugar factory.
Sugar beets?
Sugar beets, made from beets that had been dug after the first frost, and just tons and tons of beets went by the house up to the hill to be made into sugar. It was Pioneer Sugar, and it was widely known. And
do you remember when the factory was built?
No, the factory had been built a good many years before.
Okay.
This.
Okay. Any other things about the sugar beet factory that you remember?
Well, the sugar beet factory employed a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And there were always lights, lots of lights, and lots of steam from the vats of the sugar factory. And we never felt alone because those lights and the smoke indicated that there was somebody near us. But other than that, there was nobody from the river up to the sugar factory. Mm-hmm. And so...
North Grand River Street crossed the Grand River right
crossed
there.
Crossed the Grand River on Seymour.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that bridge was open. That was a new bridge, and it was open the day that I was married, September 24th.
Oh, how nice, because you were married at your home, weren't you? Mm-hmm. So people
married
could
on
come,
that corner
and, people could use that bridge the day you were married.
Didn't go the way we wanted it to, but then we used it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many homes up there now. They're nice homes. Mm-hmm. And it's on the way to the cutoff from Grand to I-96
mm-hmm.
through Lansing.
Mm-hmm.
And the State Board of Health is out there, and the airport,
mm-hmm.
of course, is on Waverly at Grand River.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be quite an industrial center, too.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Okay. Do you want to tell anything that you remember about your being at the Capitol building or anything connected with the Capitol building? Do you remember going to it the first time? Or?
Well, yes, I went to it the first time with a group of students. The teacher took us. But the time that I remember more distinctly is the time that I took. I had an uncle who was captain of the 1st Infantry of the Civil War. And I was an only child, so I was left by disposing of his memorabilia, his mess kit, his Bible, his everything that he had in his uniform
mm-hmm.
was on display in one of those things on the rotunda floor.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand that's been taken down now.
Well, it's probably somewhere else. But
what was
the name of the uncle?
Thomas Kenyon.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
He was a captain of the 1st Infantry.
Okay. And any other events around the Capitol building that you remember?
Well, my husband was a state employee, and I think we just went to one governor's reception, but that was the social event of Lansing.
Do you remember when any of the statues were put up on the grounds, or any of the landscaping, or anything like
that? Well, they did. They are continually landscaping and replacing things. Trees and things that have gone, but the statues, there's just one, and that's the first, our first governor, Blair, and that is for you get to the Capitol building itself, and
do you remember being present when any other kind of historical monuments were
I don't believe there are any.
Well, okay, I just thought if there was anything that had been placed in Lansing and people were supposed to gather in order to notice it, there was anything like that.
Well, with Michigan State or Michigan Aggies always had their bonfire
mm-hmm.
on the Capitol lawn.
Oh.
And they had all the merchants in Lansing save all their cartons and boxes and everything. And they celebrated after the victory, and
every victory, or
well, no, just the end of it.
End of the season.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. They
and
have, that they'd have a bonfire in the street, was it, or
oh, on the Capitol lawn.
On the the lawn.
And they had the fire engines all up Capitol Avenue in case.
Oh.
And, but the thing I remember most, we had a wonderful football player that year. And dear, his name has escaped me at present,
it'll come.
Too.
It'll come.
But he said they all got up and said what wonderful team they had and how they enjoyed winning. But this fellow got up and he said, well, I don't know. Gideon Smith, his name was. And he got up and he said, I don't know who's ever going to fill my shoes, but they've got to have very big feet. Mm-hmm. And he was our first, I think, colored
man.
Player. Mm-hmm. And then they built the bonfire that everybody took for home.
There were nobody got upset that the grass was no longer there the next morning?
Never thought of it.
Oh, I see. Well, that's an interesting, they didn't care so much about the grass, I guess. I
well, think. It was easily repaired.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's a lot of interesting things. The train stations, you spent a lot of time in train stations. But first of all, let's talk about the interurban stations, because that was earlier. Were there several stations in Lansing, or how did the interurban system work?
There was an interurban station. Where it was, I can't recall. One went to St. John's. Mm-hmm. And one went to Owosso through East Lansing.
Well, that was on tracks, though. The interurban ran on tracks.
On regular city tracks.
Yeah.
And we didn't hit the third rail that propelled the interurban until we left the city limits, of course.
I see. So it was really a streetcar until it got to the city limits, and then it became a self-propelling?
Well, it was much bigger okay. than a streetcar. And it was a typical interurban, a coach.
Like a train, then, as far as the cars were concerned, they were the size of a train, regular train car?
Maybe not quite as big, but along that line rather than a regular city bus, city trolley.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And but there was only one station in Lansing, as far as you know. When you went to Jackson on the interurban, how did you get there from your house?
Well, my dad took me in his car up to, that was on South Washington.
The interurban station?
Very close to the old Arbaugh store.
Uh-huh.
And we got on it then and went on to Jackson. That was the easiest run.
Uh-huh. Okay. And do you remember what it cost? See, it would have been 1922 when you went to Jackson to teach.
It was less than a dollar because I borrowed a dollar. I hadn't cashed my paycheck.
Uh-huh.
And I borrowed a dollar from an aunt that I met on the street to take the interurban. So it was less than a dollar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And about, I don't know, we used to think it was 37 miles or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's talk about then the train stations. You spent a lot of time waiting in train stations because my father traveled outside the state to do his work, and you stayed here with me so that I can be in school.
Mm-hmm.
What memories do you have of special things about the train stations?
Well, they were always crowded. We had some big trains go through here. We had a train go through the Maple Leaf Limited, left Chicago and went straight through Lansing to Toronto.
That was on Grand Trunk?
By Grand Trunk.
Mm-hmm.
And we had many old, long freights.
Mm-hmm.
And then these two, we had a Pullman. We had Pullman and we had dining cars and everything on the train that we would take to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on South Washington, of course, and it was, we had quite a wreck there once.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit what they call it, a station where they had a guard to lower and raise the...
Oh, the switch place? Or
no, it was more than that. It was up high. It was...
You talked about raising the guardrail. Is that where the...
Not the guardrail, the...
The water?
No, where you stop and go. There's always a thing at a railroad track that prevents you from crossing it.
Yeah, the guardrails that come down at the road.
Well, but they don't call those guardrails.
Well, whatever, but I mean, it was at the road, mm-hmm. and there was a man that was paid to be in that tower mm-hmm. at the street.
Uh-huh.
So that he could lower the rail, the mm-hmm. Guardrails, when the train was going to go mm-hmm. across the road. Oh, okay. And the train hit that?
The train hit that and apparently jumped the track and hit the station.
Oh, my goodness.
So we had quite a wreck.
Yes.
And we didn't have as many automobile wrecks as mm-hmm. we have now, but we had many train wrecks mm-hmm. for freights. We had lots of big freights go through.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Michigan Central that we would take to Grand Rapids, that of course was a short run,
mm-hmm.
and it had a dining car, mm-hmm. and the Pullman they took off at Grand Rapids, they put on the train to go to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. Okay.
We had it. Easy access out of Lansing, and
mm-hmm. Were there any other buildings that you can remember that you wanted to mention that may not be around anymore, either in North Lansing or in
Well,
Lansing
we lost
proper?
Both of our hotels. We had a good hotel called the Downey Hotel that was on the corner of South Washington again, and Washtenaw. That's where the J.W. Knapp bought the property and built a lovely building there.
Hmm.
But that burned during a lumberman's convention.
Mm-hmm.
And it never was rebuilt as a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other one was the Bijou Theater.
Mm-hmm.
That was on the corner of Capitol and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was burned severely and made place for the second hotel, the Olds Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And the Olds Hotel is still standing, but it is no more longer used as a hotel.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. You became a part of Masonic work quite early, I think. Do you want to talk a little bit about when you joined and what you joined and how that came about?
Well, Lansing was a very good Masonic town. It was known as in the Masonic circles as one of the best Masonic cities.
Mm-hmm.
And I joined the Eastern Star when I was a freshman at Michigan Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a member ever since. Naturally, I'm a life member now.
Mm-hmm.
And have been still enjoy it. And then I joined the what they call the White Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to be a member of the White Shrine, you had to first be a member of Arbutus Chapter, or
that's right,
Eastern Star.
Mm-hmm.
So
and so you became a part of Arbutus Chapter. It was that the name of it when you joined the Eastern Star, Arbutus Chapter number
45.
Okay.
And about, I don't know, 2 years later I joined the Shrine, and most of my friends were in the Shrine, so rather than couldn't do everything, and so I chose the Shrine and was its presiding officer after 5 years of service.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you then?
I was about 30.
You were 30 when you became the presiding officer of the White Shrine. Okay. Did you hold any other offices in the...
Well, I held the office in the Star, but they were appointive offices. They weren't elective. Mm-hmm. The Shrine were elective offices, and it took us 5 years to make the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And...
Okay, then when was the Masonic Temple built that was on Capitol Avenue?
Don't know. That was built immediately in front of the old temple, so that we might use the old temple for our meetings, everybody, while the new temple was being built.
Where was the old temple? Where did it face?
Faced Michigan. Faced Capitol. Faced Capitol and was in the second 200 block mm-hmm. of North Capitol. South Capitol.
South Capitol, I think it was, yeah. But then it must have been, you say it was back, or was it next to it? Or
the old temple was back.
Uh-huh.
And there was room to build the new temple in front of it.
Wow.
And so that's what they chose to do, mm-hmm. so that we might use the old temple as was until the new temple was ready.
Mm-hmm.
And the new temple was... I held my first meeting, they held the first meeting in the new temple in 1929, I believe.
Hmm. Okay.
No, that isn't right.
Okay, you can change it. Doesn't matter, they can check the dates. But you were active then in the old temple before the new temple was built.
Very active. And when the new temple was built, we were allowed in it to have our meetings before it was really adequate. They didn't have the seating capacity, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And they had folding chairs, and we had our meeting in there.
Mm-hmm.
But...
And did you go into Masonic work because your father and mother were active also? Or?
Well, they were active. They were very active. My father was a Knight Templar, and my mother was past matron of the Eastern Star.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty nice for me because she installed me as presiding officer of the White Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
And so... I have somewhere a certificate of my great uncle, who was also a master mason. And oh, that was way back.
mm-hmm.
And
That's amazing. Talking about buildings, one of the things that I remember hearing you talk about was the Union Building at. Was it then MAC yet when the Union Building was being built?
State. It was yes. Michigan State then.
Oh, it was Michigan State College. Uh-huh. And when was that, when the Union Building? Had you been out of college long? Or?
Oh, I was out of college and married.
Mm-hmm.
And we all pledged, every class pledged a brick to our union.
Mm-hmm.
And we paid that. We weren't supposed to pay it until we got our first paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us were afraid we wouldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pledged it before we graduated.
Oh.
But then after we graduated, that building was built as a shell.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then active in alumni work. And Betty Palm was the first president of the Michigan State Alumni AE
mm-hmm.
Union, as it was called then. And I was her vice president. So when her year ended, I was the president. I was the second president of the Alumni League.
What was the name of the first president?
Betty Palm. P-A-L-M.
Oh, uh-huh. Okay. And then you were the second president, mm-hmm. Betty Sanford, because you were called Betty mm-hmm. a lot then. And were you were Sanford by that time, or was...
Yes, I was Sanford.
Okay. And it was called the MSC Alumni League.
Alumni.
Yeah, AE. Okay. And so was the building built by that time when the Alumni League was formed?
Yes. I don't know when that building was built. It was a very big building, and it was built as in shell. Mm-hmm. The outside looked perfectly lovely, mm-hmm. but the inside was just empty rooms, empty safe spaces. Mm-hmm. And I inherited the job of buying the furniture and raising the money to buy it first, and then buying the furniture for the woman's lounge. Well, naturally, I was very active my year in raising all this money and spending it for the furniture. And we had lots of funny experiences. After the room was dedicated, I had a telephone call, and they said, "You know, we forgot one thing." And I said, "What could that be, for goodness sake?" And they said, "We forgot a piano." Well, I said, "I'm not sure that the union building management would like a piano in every room." But I said, "I'll ask about it." And the next day, the manager of the union called me and said, "What in heaven's name will I do with these pianos? I've got four of them. Upright pianos, they're in beautiful shape, lovely cabinets, but what can I do with them?" And I said, "Well, I would advise you to call the churches and the schools to see if they could use them, because apparently the one that gave them to us has no more use for them. And if we aren't allowed," he said, "well, one is all I can handle." And I said, "Well, you do the picking then, choose the one you want, and see what you can do with the rest and let me know." And so he didn't have any trouble finding a place for those pianos. But
Now, would you like to tell me a little about Waverly Park?
Well, that was Lansing's chief place for amusement. And it had roller coasters and Ferris wheels and lots of concessions. Mm-hmm. And
where was it? You were talking about a trestle?
In order to get to this Waverly Park, mm-hmm. we had to go over a very high trestle. And it was the biggest thing in Lansing, the mm-hmm. highest thing. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of thrill out of that. But
you drive over the trestle?
In a car, in a streak, in a, oh dear.
A trolley?
Trolley.
Oh, okay. So you took the trolley from where you lived and could take the trolley right to Waverly Park?
Well, we met. Oh, dear, I don't know. Shut that door.
How many times did you go to Waverly Park?
We went quite often, but didn't stay long, unless the year I was a senior at Michigan State, which would be 1922. We took a trolley ride. We took the trolley off the trolley.
Off the tracks?
They took the, oh, what's that thing up above?
The electric connector?
Yeah, uh-huh. Off the trolley and laid it on the ground at Michigan State. Uh-huh. And loaded it with women, and the men pushed it to Pine Lake to No, I'm way off again.
Okay, that's all right. They pushed the trolley to.
We went to Pine Lake that time.
Okay. They didn't push you all the way to Waverly Park in one, did they?
They sure did.
From Michigan? From Michigan State?
From Michigan State. And when we got there, there wasn't one thing open. Uh-huh. No dance floor, which we went to do. Nothing, none of the concessions were open until noon. And we didn't have a cent of money. Of course, nobody in the whole car had any money. So I finally called my fiance, and he came and took me back and a car full of the girls back to state. But we had a very miserable, we finally got somebody to play the piano, and we did a little dancing.
And so there was a dance hall at Waverly Park,
too. They had a big dance hall.
Uh-huh.
And
kind of rambunctious for a morning jaunt, wasn't it?
Well, it was a Bolshevik holiday.
Oh, I see.
From Michigan State.
Was that one of the kind of getaway times at Michigan State? Mm-hmm.
Bolshevik holiday, they
uh-huh.
called it.
Uh-huh.
And they took the trolley off the streetcar and filled it with women. And pushed it. It was up downhill almost all the way.
Oh, that was good.
But it helped them a lot. But
Waverly Park was out on Waverly Road.
Well,
not too far from the Grand River.
It's on the Grand River. It was on the Grand River.
Okay.
Because we went canoeing. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how we got there. The time we went, we took the trolley off the car.
Mm-hmm. But you had to use the tracks.
Yeah.
Pushed it on the tracks. So there were tracks that went into Waverly Park.
I'm trying now to... Is that,
It's all right.
I'm trying to think now where Waverly comes in.
Well, is there anything else that happened at Waverly Park that you remember? Or that
no, we were very happy to be back home.
But you say earlier that you'd go maybe...
we'd go for an afternoon, Saturday afternoon quite often.
With your family? It was a family place? Or did you go with friends?
I went with Doc.
Okay, so this was in college time.
Mm-hmm.
Did younger people go? Or with
their
families?
Yes, lots of families. There were lots of rides and things that involved families,
mm-hmm.
and they took advantage of that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have any idea of when it stopped being Waverly Park? Okay.
Dates fail me.
Well, that's okay. I just wondered whether it was just before the Second World War or the...
No,
like that.
It was after that.
Okay, so Waverly Park was in existence and entertaining people during the Second World War?
I think it was.
Okay. You don't remember when you first knew about Waverly Park? Was it...
Well, it was considered the part of Lansing,
mm-hmm.
and as I say, it was our chief amusement place.
Mm-hmm.
We had other beautiful parks, mm-hmm. Potter Park and Ferris Park, and those, but they were for baseball or something like that. They weren't. Potter Park had our zoo, our city zoo,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to be a beautiful place now.
Do you remember when it started to be a zoo, or was that...
That was when I first came to Lansing. The zoo was there.
Oh, okay.
But they've enlarged it, of course, and beautified it.
Mm-hmm.
And now most of the animals that the zoo contains are seen from inside
mm-hmm.
rather than outside.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had some accidents with children.
Mm-hmm.
And...
do you remember any other crazy times that happened between you and school people? I don't think you've mentioned about the kinds of singing programs that were put on when you were in high school. There was a picture of you in a gypsy costume with other members of a cast, I think. What was that?
Well, that was our stunt day. That was in 1917. Oh. And we would graduate the next month in June. Mm-hmm. And we had a J-Ha. And we had a junior exhibition. Mm-hmm. Now, at this exhibition, our English teacher, Mary Derby, wrote a play called The Moon Maid. Mm-hmm. And we put that on. Mm-hmm. And I was in that.
Was it a musical or just a play?
Well, both. Mm-hmm. The lead parts were not musical, mm-hmm. but...
So the storyline went on, and then maybe there was music in the middle, mm-hmm. and all around. Okay. So what part did you play in The Moon Maid?
I was the minister's wife.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Now I'm the minister's wife.
Dear. Huh. Well, it's far different than it was then, I'm sure.
Yes.
But we had lots of practices, and... I also belonged to the Glee Club and the Madrigal Singers. And we used to get the people that the University of Michigan hired for their spring festival. If we needed a baritone or an alto or a soprano, we furnished most of them. But I was in the chorus, and we used to get some very wonderful singers.
Was this in high school?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd get soloists from the
University
of Michigan Festival.
May Festival. Mm-hmm. And
well, maybe we've done plenty for today, and there's always the possibility that we can put another tape in the tape machine and think of some other things at another time.
Well, I'm sure I've told all I know.
Oh, well, we'll find out. But thank you again for a wonderful time, and I hope you enjoyed it. And mm-hmm. I know people will be glad to have the access to the memories that you've had. Thank you.